us who continue today to stir one another on, invigorating our giftedness and ministries, to bless those within and without our fellowship. Make us, we pray, willing, eager, and passionate sharers in your healing and redemptive work for the sake of all your children. And this we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, the solid rock upon which we are so relieved to stand. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, and we'll hear verses 1 through 14. Hear the word of God. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, maltreated them, and killed them. And the king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" This is the gospel of Christ. Thanks be to God. Well, fall is a wonderful time to travel and take in the vibrant flora and fauna. I've learned, though, through recent news reports that it's even becoming a contentious thing in some rural spaces in Vermont, where people are crowding the small hamlets and things and country roads, dirt roads, with their cars and their cameras and so on. Anyway, there's been visual news reports from Vermont and places like that. These country roads are being crowded by intrusive urbanites eager to peek at and photograph the effervescent landscapes to the chagrin of the locals. Diane and I had a marvelous fall some years ago when we cruised through some stunning scenery on our way to Alaska up the west coast. And the beauty was often overwhelming. But every once in a while, our breathtaking moments weren't spurred on by the splendor of the radiant hues blanketing the tundra, or the turquoise blue and green milky ice-pocked fjords, or the thunder of ice cracking and calving off dense azure glaciers. Our breathtaking moments were not just incited by sudden glimpses of galloping caribou or sauntering moose or even gleaming snow-clad mountain peaks playing peekaboo in the clouds. What we found stunning sometimes was when we saw people stick their noses in a book, wrap themselves up in a blanket in some corner of the deck, and remain oblivious to what was going on around them. I even overheard someone say they were going to their interior cabin to watch a movie that was a couple of years old, one that they could have seen any time in the dark of their basement on some rainy day back home. And as I sauntered midship, I heard the words of Elizabeth Barrett Browning echoing in my head as I observed the herd of people lined up around the plethora of jewelry stores with their noses pressed to the glittery trough of overpriced trinkets. Elizabeth Browning's words echoed in me. Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes, and the rest sit around and pluck blackberries and daub their faces unaware more and more from the first similitude. I observed a great many people on and off the ship whose feet were clad in heavy boots and whose hearts were heavily insulated and far from their sleeves. They seemed to mirror in some way the kind of people Jesus described in his parable and people we would describe as being party poopers. Jesus' parable is about a party to which everyone is invited. And God is throwing the party and desires all to experience joy in the celebration. It's an invitation to joy, an invitation to grace. And what is so amazing about this grace? Unlike an Alaskan cruise, this grace is free. And who's on the guest list? Well, there's nothing to be gained by gate crashing this one. The good, the bad, the ugly, the wheat and the tares are all called and all are invited. Now, some have come to think that evil is a big problem in the kingdom of God. Friends, evil is not the problem. Non-acceptance is the problem. Not accepting the invitation and not accepting the party clothes or the party dress is counter God's kingdom goals. And for a long time in the church, we've thought that evil is a big problem. And we have thought that reform is simply changing behavior. But Scripture continually points us to a change of heart as being the essential to kingdom participation. And that it is saying to us, saying, and that is saying yes to the party and saying yes to the garb. And we learn from Jesus' description of the banquet that it's not our party. It's not something that we can create. And we are not in charge of the celebration. It's the king's party. And you either come or you don't. We do not have any say. We do not have any say about who's in and who's out. It reminds me of my old friend Lloyd. He was an old salty dog sailor, and he had in his wallet, always kept a poem in his wallet. And the poem was called The Nightmare. And I'll read it for you because it's great. That's why Lloyd carried around with him everywhere. He said, "I dreamed death came the other night and heaven's gate swung wide. And with kindly grace, an angel ushered me inside. And to my astonishment stood folks I'd known on earth. Some I judged and labeled as unfit and little worth. And indignant words rose to my lips, but never were set free. For on every face showed stunned surprise. No one expected me." It's a party in which we need to learn to participate instead of trying to create. We need to be the ones created. Jesus' parable in our gospel lesson is about the kingdom of heaven. God's kingdom is a party. It's a celebration beyond any celebration we've ever seen. For no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Yet Christ gives us a glimpse, and the Spirit gives us a taste. There's no reason to stay away. There's no reason why you cannot respond to the invitation to join God's celebration. Oh, you know, I'd love to. I've got work to do. I'm really, really busy. And I'm really not good enough. I really don't like who's invited. Or who's going to be there? There's no reason to miss the celebration except your own personal choice not to come and not to put on the robe. And Jesus' parable describes two kinds of folk who will miss the party. There are, after all, only two judgments, and both are against the snubs given directly or and indirectly to the host: the choice not to come and the choice not to put on the robe. Now, first we find the king stomping hard on those who mistreat the messengers. And secondly, we hear, "Buster, how come you didn't put on the robe I provided for you?" And you see, it was customary for guests of royal banquets to be given robes to put on as they came in. In honor of the host, you put it on. You didn't sit there with the host's banquet garb lying down on the floor between your feet. Isaiah 61 verse 10 says, "For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of salvation." The parable reminds me that it is God who provides the robe. It is God who changes the heart. We can't hang the robe on a person or change them. If I try to change someone or raise his or her consciousness, I'm doing it without the robe. What we can do, however, is point to it. What robe do you put on? We have to get dressed every morning, and we need to put on Christ daily, the robe of righteousness. It's not easy if you come with the garment of jealousy or greed. You're out of place. You're out of sync with worship. If I am wearing a garment that doesn't free me to participate in the community celebration, then I'm bound by that other garment, and it always excludes me. Friends, there's been a great deal happening in our world lately to douse the party spirit. And there are numerous responses being articulated and acted upon. And unfortunately, the majority of these responses are equally life and joy robbing. We know that a party was thrown about 2,000 years ago, and only a handful of folk showed up to the birth of the king. And there's nothing that fosters social change like a glimpse of the party that will be given by the God who promises it to us by his grace. Sociologists long have known that social change and revolution do not occur because things are deplorable, as much as they occur when people see the possibilities of what could be. That's what the first party was all about. The world will change. The lion will lie down with the lamb, and swords will be beaten into plowshares, and people will forget about war. What started as a birthday party will end with a wedding feast. And you are invited. And I'm invited. And they are invited. So let's be there.